Chapter 30. Despite Sengul's loud snoring, Pitt and Giordino slept soundly in the Gur, the boy Noyon giving up his bed to sleep on pillows on the floor. Everyone awoke at sunup and shared a breakfast of tea and noodles. Sengul had arranged for Pitt and Giordino to accompany Noyon to the nearby village, where the local children were shuttled to a monastery for schooling 3 days a week. Pitt and Giordino would hop a ride with Noyon to the monastery, where a supply truck from Ulaanbaatar was known to make semi-regular visits. Slipping some dusty bills into her hand, Pitt thanked Aryuna for the food and comfort, then said goodbye to Tsengul. "We cannot repay your kindness and generosity. The door to a herder's gur is always open. Be well in your travels, and think kindly on occasion of your friends in the Gobi." The men shook hands, then Sengul galloped off to tend his herd. Pitt, Giordino, and Noyon mounted three of the stout horses and loped off toward the north. "Your father is a good man," Pitt said as he watched Sengul's dusty trail disappear over the horizon. "Yes, but he is sad to be away from the ground of his birth. We are doing well enough here, but I know his heart lies in Ulaanbaatar, the land to the southeast. If he can prosper here, then I'd say he could make it anywhere," Giordino said, eyeing the barren landscape around them. "It is a struggle, but I will help my father when I am older. I will attend the university in Ulaanbaatar and become a doctor. Then I will buy him all the camels he desires." They crossed a grainy plain, then threaded their way through a series of sharp sandstone uplifts. The horses plodded their way along without guidance, following the route the way a Grand Canyon mule knows every step to the Colorado River. It wasn't long before Pitt and Giordino found their backsides chafing in discomfort. The horses were outfitted with the traditional Mongol saddles that were constructed of wood. Like most children of the Mongolian steppes and desert regions, Noyon had learned to ride before he could walk and grew up accustomed to the hard, unforgiving riding gear. For outsiders like Pitt and Giordino, it was like riding a park bench over an infinite row of speed bumps. "You sure there's not a bus stop or airport around here?" Giordino asked with a grimace. Noyon thoughtfully considered the question.
"No bus, other than at the village. But airplane, yes. Not far from here. I will take you to it."
Before Giordino could say another word, Noyon kicked his horse and galloped off toward a ridge to the east.
"That's all we need. An extra side trip," Pitt said. "Shouldn't cost us more than a ruptured spleen or two. Who's to say there's not a Learjet waiting for us on the other side of that ridge?" Giordino countered.
They turned toward Noyon's dusty trail and spurred their horses to run, the animals eagerly galloping after the lead horse. They charged up to the base of the ridge, then flanked around its northern tip. The horses' hooves clopped loudly as they crossed a wide section of level sandstone. Winding around some large boulders, they finally caught up with Noyon, who sat waiting in the shadow of a rocky spire. To Giordino's chagrin, there was no jet or airport or sign of any means of air transportation for as far as the eye could see. There was just more flat, gravelly desert, punctuated by the occasional rocky bluff. At least the boy was truthful in one regard, Giordino thought. They had, in fact, traveled only a short distance off their original path. Pitt and Giordino slowed their horses to a walk as they approached Noyon. The boy smiled at them, then nodded toward the back side of the ridge behind him. Pitt gazed at the ridge, noting only a rocky incline covered in a layer of red sand. A few of the rocks were oddly shaped and seemed to reflect a faint silvery hue.
"A lovely rock garden," Giordino mused. But Pitt was intrigued and rode closer, noting two of the protrusions were proportionally shaped. As he drew near, he suddenly saw that they were not rocks at all, but a pair of partially buried radial engines. One was attached to the blunt nose of an inverted fuselage, while the other was mounted to an accompanying wing that disappeared under the sand. Noyon and Giordino rode up as Pitt dismounted and brushed away the sand from one of the buried cowlings. Looking up with amazement, he said to Giordino, "It's not a Learjet. It's a Fokker trimotor."